All right. Good morning again. Go ahead and find your seats, and we're going to pray and go into God's Word this morning. Glad you guys are here, and I just felt led to say, you know, we're in God's house, and God loves it when we come to His house. And if this morning there's some things that you're struggling with or discouragements, I just feel like the Lord wants to encourage and wants to strengthen. It's like when people come to our house, we want to offer them the best and host them. And I just felt like that's the invitation of God this morning, that we're in His house and He's here to bless us and host us and to encourage us and strengthen us. So let me pray for us. Father, as we go to Your Word this morning, we just thank You for the opportunity to be in Your house and in Your presence. And in Your presence, there is life. And we just receive that life, that renewal, that encouragement, that strengthening, that wisdom that could only come from You, that peace. And I'm reminded of the words of Jesus, that peace You give us, peace You leave us. You don't give it like the world gives. And so we receive that divine gift of peace this morning. So guide this time as we go to Your Word, and we pray that You would speak to us and minister to us through the power of Your Word this morning. And we just continue to lift up the Japan team to You. And we pray for Your protection upon them in every single way, for Your anointing to be with them. And we pray that the ministry that they do in Japan would go forth powerfully with great fruit and results for the glory of Jesus Christ and revival in Japan. So we give You this time, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so today the sermon title is A Great Name, and you'll see what that means as we go along the way. And I wanted to start off with a little question for you that relates to the passage that we're going to look at this morning. So this question to help us get started thinking along the lines of this passage. And so the question is this: how tall is the tallest skyscraper? All right, so I have a couple of options up here. So how many of you would say it is A, 106 floors? Raise your hand. B, 155 floors. C, 163 floors. Or D, 201 floors. The correct answer is actually C, 163 floors. Burj Khalifa in Dubai is 163 floors, tallest skyscraper built in 2000 or finished in 2010. Obviously, with modern technology and advanced ingenuity, and they got it up to 163 floors. Certainly tall, the tallest skyscraper in the world of all time. But would you believe that there is actually a structure that was built in ancient times? That there's a story in the Bible of it that they were trying to build a tower even taller than this. So we look in Genesis chapter 11, 1 through 9, and that's the passage we'll be on today. A group of people that were building a tower that was even taller than Burj Khalifa in Dubai. So turn your Bibles to Genesis 11, 1 through 9, or I should say that they tried to build a tower that was taller than that. Let's find out this story, Genesis 11, 1 through 9. I will have the NIV translation on portions up on the screen, but I think it would be helpful if you had your Bibles open to that story, and that we would be able to see it in context along the way. Okay, so Genesis 11, 1 through 9. Let's read it together. It is up on the screen, the NIV translation, again, in portion. So let's read it together. Genesis 11, 1 through 9. Now the whole earth used the same language and the same words. It came about as they journeyed east that they found the plain in the land of Shinar and settled there. They said to one another, "Come, let us make bricks and burn them thoroughly." And they used brick for stone, and they used tar for mortar. They said, "Come, let us build for ourselves a city and a tower whose top will reach into heaven, and let us make for ourselves a name. Otherwise, we will be scattered abroad over the face of the whole earth." But the Lord came down to see the city and the tower the people were building. The Lord said, "If as one people speaking the same language they have begun to do this, then nothing they plan to do will be impossible for them. Come, let us go down and confuse their language so they will not understand each other." So the Lord scattered them abroad from there over the face of the whole earth, and they stopped building the city. Therefore, its name was called Babel, because the Lord confused the language of the whole earth, And from there, the Lord scattered them abroad over the face of the whole earth. So from the very start of this passage, we see that they had one language, monolingual, monocultural across the whole earth. And this was a very blessed situation, I think you would agree, having one language, one culture across the whole earth for everybody. There were a lot of advantages to that. Many of us in this room, I would say probably most of us in this room, we've experienced situations where they're multilingual, multicultural. And there are certainly challenges, right? Some of us, even in our family of origin, have those situations where, you know, communication is difficult to navigate at times, the cultural differences, some of the nuances of it. Sometimes there's lots of challenges to that. The people, the original people that were on the earth, they didn't have any of those challenges. So they were in a situation with lots of advantages, lots of efficiency, lots of clear communication. And so there was lots of blessing for them in this. But then, as we go along this story, we see how they responded to this blessed situation, advantageous situation that God had provided for them. Let's read verses 3 and 4. Can we read that out loud together? How did they respond to this advantageous situation of monolingual, monocultural? Let's read 3 and 4 again. They said to one another, "Come, let us make bricks and burn them thoroughly." And they used brick for stone, and they used tar for mortar. They said, "Come, let us build for ourselves a city and a tower whose top will reach into heaven. And let us make for ourselves a name, otherwise we'll be scattered abroad over the face of the whole earth." So their response to God's blessing on them, to God's advantageous situation for them, efficient situation for them, their response was to go and build a city, Babel. They were going to build a tower that was going to reach up into heaven. And they were set out to make a name for themselves. And we found out here that the reason why they did it was so that they wouldn't get scattered. So to put it simply, they did it so that they would continue to be comfortable, so that they would be protected, so that they will be preserved. It was for their own benefit and for their own comfort. They didn't want to get scattered. It's ironic, isn't it, what ended up happening to them when they decided to look out for their own comfort, their own preservation, their own protection. Verse 8, let's read this out loud together, the result of it. So the Lord scattered them abroad from there over the face of the whole earth, and they stopped building the city. The very thing that they were trying to provide for themselves, the very thing that they were trying to bring comfort into their lives, God allowed it to happen for them as they made this decision to advance their own kingdom. I think most of us would agree that, you know, generally, you know, in the Christian circle, the Christian thing to do is not to make a name for ourselves, right? We're supposed to make a name for God, right? But these people, they made the decision to make a name for themselves. I think that we would agree, okay, you're not supposed to do that. You know, that's not a Christian thing to do. That's not a godly thing to do. And so when God began to do this and bring this punishment on them and scattered them and let the very thing happen to them that they didn't want to happen, we would say, we understand that. You know, they're trying to make a name for themselves. They shouldn't have done that. But it's really important for me to point out to us a part of this story that actually happens in the next chapter, Genesis chapter 12, of God's actual heart for them, God's actual heart for us. Right? So we would say, I think generally, make a name for ourselves, not a Christian thing to do. But let's see Genesis 12, 1 through 3, God's heart for them, for us. This is, by the way, a famous section of scripture known as the Abrahamic covenant, his covenant for his people, his covenant promise for his people, for us as believers. Genesis 12, 1 through 3. Can we read it out loud together? This is God's heart for his people, God's heart for us. Let's read it together. The Lord had said to Abram, "Go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you." It's really important for me to note this morning, as a part of this story, as a part of God's heart, is that God's heart for them was to make their name great. God had no problem with making their name great. God has no problem with making your name great, making the name of our church great, making the name of our city great. He has no problem about that. In fact, this is the Abrahamic covenant. This is God's heart. He had no problem with them making their, or God making their name great. He had a problem with them doing it so that they would be preserved, so that it would be about their comfort, so that it would be about their advancement, it'd be about their preservation, it would be about their protection. God wants to make our name great. It's not wrong to have desires in our heart to do something great in this life. God placed those desires into our hearts. It's not even wrong for us to desire to make our name great. God put those desires into our hearts. That's actually the Abrahamic covenant, his covenant promise for his people. He wants that. He desires that more than us. But when it becomes about our comfort, our preservation, our own protection, our own kingdom, that's when God says, I have a huge problem about that. And I have some consequences about that, that he began to say to the people of Babel. It's probably a little bit weird to receive that about, you know, God wants to make our name great, right? Because in Christian circles, to walk around and say, I'm about making my name great. You know what? You know, we're not used to that. We're not used to that in maybe American cultural Christianity or maybe even American culture. But yet this was God's heart for his people. This is God's heart. This is God's best for us. But we got to see the reason why. The reason why we would walk around and say, I want to see my name great. I received that covenant promise from God. I received that heart from God to go forth in this world, in this life, in the industry that I'm at, in the family that I'm in the community that I'm in, to see my name begin to advance and become great. We've got to see the reason why God wants this for his people, why God wants this for us. The last portion of the Abrahamic covenant says this, and all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. You know, Genesis 11, the Tower of Babel, this was the first time in history and in the Bible that it was ever about racial divisions, right? There were no racial divisions before Genesis 11, before the Tower of Babel. After that situation in the Tower of Babel, there was a consequence to what they did, and then there was this scattering, and there was racial divisions that was created as a result of that, as a result of their sin, of their situation, that we also have sinned in those ways, consequences to it. But God said, right in the next chapter, he said, my heart, though, for you as God's people is actually that your name would be great, so that what will happen is that there will be a blessing that begins to go forth to the nations, that there will be a reversal of what happened at the Tower of Babel, and there will be healing across the racial lines, across the racial divisions. God said, that's the reason why I want to make your name great. God said, I want to make your name great, that there will be healing that comes through you. I want to make your name great, that the nations will be blessed through you. It's really interesting to me, this season that our church is in. I've been at this church for 17 years. This is the craziest year of ministry. We're only halfway through. This has been the craziest year of ministry in this last 17 years. Many of you know, like, crazy doors opening for us, right? Recently, just a couple weeks ago, the National Board of the Vineyard Denomination of 650 churches in the U.S., thousands of churches across the world, they made it a point that they wanted to come here to the English congregation, to the Chinese congregation. They wanted to be here with our church. Recently, they've been just embracing us more and more, not just embracing us, but giving us a platform to do ministry nationally and even in some ways internationally. Many of you know that we just led a panel discussion at the National Conference in Anaheim a couple of weeks ago. Many of you know that they recently appointed us as the area church, overseeing about 10 vineyard churches in the East Los Angeles area. And so, can I put it this way? Recently, God has been making our name, Vineyard of Harvest, great, greater. Being noticed amongst the national leaders of our movement, of our denomination, being in the conversation and being brought to the platform to begin to lead in the national movement, God's been making our name great. And we got to ask the question, why? This is God's heart. This is God's covenant promise to his people to make our name great. This, I believe, applies to us as a church, but it applies to you as believers. God desires to make your name great. But we got to know that God desires to make our name great for the purpose that there will be healing across the nations, across barriers and divisions that sin has brought, including racial divisions. God wants to make our name great so that we have a part in that healing to the nations. This is crazy. In a couple of weeks, in August 12th and 13th, that weekend, a Hispanic Vineyard pastor named Ruben Quintero is going to be with us for that weekend. He's going to spend the whole weekend with us, with our staff and with my family on the Saturday, and then he's going to be here to preach that weekend. Ruben Quintero is a pastor of a Hispanic Vineyard church in Mexicali called Imperial Valley Vineyard. He's also a national leader because he oversees the La Viñas, the Hispanic churches in the vineyard across the U.S. And he's going to come here that weekend, and he's not just going to be a guest preacher. Because increasingly, the Vineyard has been looking to our church as the Asian American representatives of the Vineyard moving forward. And I believe that that weekend is going to be something prophetic in the spirit, where we have the opportunity to bring healing between two cultures, and healing that goes beyond just the Vineyard. But I believe that God, as it is in Scripture, that God wants to advance us and give us a platform, make our name greater, so that we have an opportunity to bring healing where healing needs to happen. And I think you would agree that lots of healing, especially in the time that we live, needs to happen across racial divisions. And God wants to use us to be a part of Him doing this. The Japan team that's in Japan right now, the Iraq missions, which is the momentum in Iraq missions is really beyond my imagination. We just had a question and answer panel discussion info session on Friday. The momentum and the mobilization in that has been beyond anything that I've seen in our church in 17 years. And that we have the opportunity to bring healing that's beyond our own culture or our own pocket here in Walnut, California, to be a channel and an agent of change and healing across the nations. You might hear all this, you know, this call of, you know, making our name great so that we could be an agent of healing across the nations, go to the nations, healing across racial lines. You might be like, man, that is stressful. You know, like, I'm not sure if I want that, to make my name great so that I have to have this all this responsibility, et cetera, to be a change agent and a healer across racial lines. But I just want to say, I understand that. I get that. I feel like that as this has begun to happen, that I also feel a bit uncomfortable. Many of you know that I'm going to be going to Iraq in October, on one of the October trips. And this is extremely uncomfortable to me. Many of you know I have a family with three young kids, 4, 3, 10 months. And I would say being away from them for 21 days, 3 weeks, is a long time to me. Is, if I can put it this way, uncomfortable. Especially Silas, our oldest, he's going to be starting school this year. So to be away at that beginning portion is uncomfortable. But I remember what Pastor Kwan said when he went to Iraq in March. He said, you know, we could be in suburban California and feel like we're in a safe place. But if we're in suburban California and we're not in the will of God, it's probably the most unsafe place for us to be. But if we're in Iraq, where it's reported every single day on CNN of violence and terrorist activity, but we're in the will of God, that is the safest place in the whole world that we could be. Listen, I think that there is a word for us in this season, whether it's going to Iraq or whatever God calls you to do. That God says, I want to advance you. It is my heart to advance you, to make your name great in your industry, in your work, in your family, in your church, in your ministries, whatever the case may be, to make your name great. But getting out of our comfort zone, and it's not about our comfort. It's about getting in the will of God. You know, we are forever saved by Jesus for all eternity at the moment of salvation. At the moment of salvation, we're saved forever. But we are kept safe as we make decisions to follow Jesus every single day. We're saved. We will have eternal life. We will go to heaven. But listen, the way to stay safe is to ask God, what is your will for my life? Because when you get into God's will, when you begin to move in God's will, His plan of how He wants to advance you, that is the safest place, even if it's in Iraq. Even if you need to go to a place where it's filled with terrorists, and I just to clarify, we just had the info session that is not the situation in northern Iraq. But the point is that when we go to wherever God calls us to go, and we're in his will, that is the safest place. And we got to get ourselves into a safe place. And God wants to move us into this direction. The last couple of weeks, we keep on receiving words, right, even from people that have been preaching. And the word in the vineyard, this is our little catchphrase in the vineyard, faith is spelled R-I-S-K. Right, the book of James talks about how faith without works, it's dead. And God's calling us to step out in risk. In what he calls us to, whatever he calls us to. God, what's your will? Where do you want me to go? What do you want me to do? And we begin to step out in risk to what he calls us to. And by the way, for some of us, we're like, you know, like, what is God calling me to do? We're not sure and everything. Listen, God has enough grace for you as you step out to cover you. Don't be afraid to make a mistake. God has enough grace to cover you if you make a mistake, but that we step out in risk and say, it's not about my comfort. It's not about my preservation and my protection, but God, I submit myself. Make my name great for your glory to heal the nations. That's God's heart for us. That's God's heart for you. That's certainly God's heart for our church, and that is what God is doing in our church lately. For whatever it is that God calls you to, for some of us, I believe some of us in this room, it is Iraq. That God's been stirring something in us about Iraq, about missions, about stepping out, about October and the November trip. I believe that there are some in the room that's a word for you this morning. And the safest place for you to be is in the will of God. Whatever he calls you to. For others of us, it's not Iraq, because we're not all called to go necessarily or to go in this season. But it's something else. It's other things. I felt a word this morning about housewives. And that doesn't mean that's your, you know, that you might have an occupation outside of the house, but for once in the house, Proverbs 31 talks about that your name would be known in your family. Your name would be great in your family. Your family would know you and call you blessed and call you great, because you are answering the call of God in your family to care for your family, raising up the next generation, being a blessing to your spouse, etc. And you would say, make my name great in that as a housewife for the glory of Jesus. And in that, God could bring healing to the nations. For some of us, I felt like there was a word about business. So not that you might own your own business, but it's just be in the marketplace, whatever industry that you're in, and that you would submit yourself and say, God, I received the Abrahamic covenant, the covenant promise to your people to make my name great in this industry for your glory, for healing to the nations across racial divisions, that you would bring your healing. But it would call for us to submit ourselves according to God's word and probably against American cultural Christianity to say before God, God, I received that. Make my name great for your glory in my industry. I felt like there was a word for different ones of us in our ministries, whatever ministry that you're a part of, that in humility you would say, God, make my name great. Make it great. Do it big. Blow it up. God, for your glory, for healing to the nations across racial divisions, do this in your way. Not about my comfort, not about my preservation, but ultimately for your glory. We make our name great, that the name that is above every name will be the one that's lifted up as the greatest. That's what God's heart is for us. That's the Abrahamic covenant and his heart to us. Let's pray in response. Worship team, prayer team, if you could come forward at this time too. I think this portion is going to be a little bit weird for you, because I will ask you to respond. And it is definitely outside of our culture, whether it's American culture or if it's some other ethnic culture or Christian culture, to say to God, God, make my name great. But that you would say that not about your comfort, not about your preservation, not about your protection, but that it would ultimately be about Jesus' name being Great. All eyes closed and heads bowed. Can you raise your hand all the way up and just keep it up? If you would say, God, make my name great in my family, in my industry, in my ministry, etc. But Lord, I pray, blow it up huge. Blow it up huge for your glory. Father, I even ask that, Lord, that it would be across racial lines, that this type of greatness, this kind of anointing that you have offered to us, promised to us, that you love to give to us, would bring healing across the nations. Lord, I receive that covenant promise on behalf of our church. Make our name great. Make our name great, but for your glory, not about our comfort and preservation and about our own kingdom, but God, do it and bring healing to the nations through this, in Jesus' name. You can put your hands down. One more thing. All eyes closed and heads bowed, just to make this a private moment. Some of us, we know some risky things that God's called us to do, whether it's Iraq or something else, but some risky thing that we feel like that God has been calling us to do lately. And I feel like the enemy wants to steal that or just plant just lots of doubts. Like, man, that is just too risky. That is crazy. You're sacrificing your family. You're overboard with your faith, etc. I just feel like we need to silence the enemy today. So I'm going to ask you, all eyes closed and heads bowed, raise your hand just all the way up if you feel like that Lord's been calling you to some risky things, but you're just uncertain and you just feel like the enemy's been just throwing darts your way. Just put your hand up because I want to pray for you. Just put it all the way up, and I just want to pray over you. In Jesus' name, we just break the lies and the words of the enemy in Jesus' name. We will step out in faith and in the calling of God, whatever it is, and we pray that you grant us the boldness and the protection in order to move forward in what you have called us to do. Listen, if you raise your hand, and there's a bunch of you that raise your hand, I feel like we need to lay hands on you and just pray for you in those things and in those avenues of life and ministry. And so as we begin to sing our last two songs for this morning, as we close out the service, you can come forward and receive prayer. I just feel like that there's just such blessing when the family of God gathers together and there's hands laid and just praying blessing over each other. So if you raise your hand about that and God's calling you to some risky things, receive prayer today, because I feel like that there is security that's offered to you. I feel like that there is God's comfort that's offered to you. And I feel like there's God's boldness that's offered to you this morning. So Father, we just come and we just submit this time into your hands. By the way, when we begin to pray, any and all needs we want to pray for. So I'm just issuing that one thing, but any and all needs we want to pray for this morning as we close out service. So Father, release your Holy Spirit in this time. Minister to your people. We are needy. We are needy for your touch. We are needy for your Holy Spirit to be poured out on us for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's all stand together. We're going to close out our service with these two songs. If you'd like to receive prayer, our prayer team is up here. We'd love to pray for you for what we mentioned and anything else.